Rostats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hey, morning.
I just want to let the guy know, right? The duties of a police officer and a firefighter first is protection of life and then property. Protection of life first and then property. What I think the police need to do is to step up the sweeps and the raids in those areas and the stop and searches. I don't know if you recognize, recently they went into Greenfield. They found drugs, they found ammunition, and they found counterfeit money. The police need to go back on that robust work they used to do before. Stop and search those vehicles by night, especially coming from those dance hall sets and things. Set up the operation. Stop, search those guys. Go in them bad boy areas. And 90% of the time, you will know who is the kingpin in those areas, the drug lords, the big boys. Stop and search those houses. And we will see some success going there. I agree with Oldu Waldron, what he said in relation to that flogging and hanging. I think that would deter some of these criminals.
Those comments got the WhatsApp here on fire. I can't go over there now.
From doing what they're doing. Next thing, right, Corey?
Wait, before you move on, because I don't want to forget.
Right?
I don't mind what you ask me. Listen, before you move on, because I want it to flow neatly. You talk about the lives, but it was the debate. Whose lives come first? Do they protect their lives first, or do they protect the citizens' lives first?
Protection of life and property, meaning the citizens.
The citizens.
But it's only obvious when you're going to anything, you should be able to protect your life.
Correct, because we want them to get back home too. So,
exactly.
So P raised the issue of the fire, right? I want to raise the issue of going into these hot spots. Because I spotted some policemen, one in particular, and he told me when they're going to a particular spot, they always wear a bulletproof vest because those particular guys always shoot back at them.
Yeah.
Now, so when we're sending them to do the raids, we got to understand that either their lives are going to be in danger, or actually both sides of lives are going to be in danger. So we got to look at that. I do support the whole idea of taking the guns off the street, but I believe that it has to be more strategy than force. It must be, they must have the stealth, they must have their, I think they should got like flash bang grenades or something, or probably playing too many video games and watching TV. Don't say yes, Michelle, because I think if you're going into area, right, the guys that can shoot back at you, I think it's best to got your little mechanisms that you could knock out people to take the guns, they don't shoot at you, and then when they become conscious, they're in prison. So I think that's the best outcome. I don't know what the public think, but that is just my suggestion.
When you look at the police officers these days, you'll recognize that 90% of them, 95% of them, they carry the firearm and they carry a bulletproof vest.
Mm-hmm.
My only problem is sometimes they'll be wearing the vest outside the shirt and everybody can see the vest.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man see one vest and he wants to shoot you, I don't think he can shoot at his vest.
Then you shoot at your head. Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I think they need to go back for that robust stop and searching.
But you know, stop and search have its issues too, though. Like, you have issues of profiling. So then stopping Dr. Braffitt, but the one stop Corey Lane from doing Black Rock. You understand? That becomes its own issue.
But when you say ACB, mm-hmm. Dr. Braffitt, all Dr. Braffitt might got in there is some medical records and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But Corey Lane, but he got the weapon and the ammunition.
No, that's where you're wrong. Corey Lane poor and can't afford a $6,000 gun. Where you getting the money from? I ain't saying it's Dr. Braffitt, but where the money coming from?
You see, that's the problem called the drug lord. No, no, mm-hmm. That Corey Lane is a good man according to the Republic of Barbados.
No. I use
and
my name to
pass on piece of money to him to drop off something for him somewhere.
Good. So that's why stop and searches has its issues, because it has to be truly random, or we can be having a different conversation 6 months on this radio. You understand? You're stopping the people down in the Orleans and the people from Fort George driving past free. So that is going to be the issue.
But I don't think there's a single New Orleans. I think we stop and search every and any vehicle we find on the road.
Good. That's
don't give it a BMW
page.
Or Mercedes or Suzuki car.
Right, good.
Because the Mercedes man, he might be using it. The drug man might use him to carry things because you know the police might not want to start because he's a big shot.
All right, we're on the same page. I stop you from making your next point, so please move on to that one.
My next point to you, right? I heard the Attorney General say that Darren Dutton have been hired as a consultant to the same Royal Barbados Police Force.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Attorney General say the only body he has to report to is him. But you know, since he has been appointed that job, we have not heard one word from him in relation to the crime fighting terrorists in this country. Nothing we have heard about him. And I'm just asking, we, the taxpayers, is paying him. Is our money paying him? And we hear nothing at all from him. What is really his purpose and what is his duties? What is his duties? We would like to know what he's going to do. And what all this crime happening last year, and then we hear he broke another idea. We hear saying nothing from him at all. And if he did say something, the Attorney General should at least had a statement saying, the consultant said so or so or so, and he gave us this idea or so, whatever.
I agree with your last point particularly, because I think that when taxpayers' money is paying people, you should be able to know what it is they are doing broadly. Because suppose he's working on some stealth missions of national security, I don't want to hear him then, because he could be planning these same raids that we're talking about, right? Good. But I agree that the Attorney General, who he reports to, should say, in consultation with my crime consultant, the Commissioner of Police, and the Regional Training School, we've decided to. And that helps to quell people like you. Because I don't agree on the other hand, your first point, man. We're paying these people, they should be talking. It depends on what it is they're doing. So that's it.
Talking, we should be getting something coming from them here that they did this.
No, we agree.
All right. All right, thank you very much, Corey. Thank you, sir.
All right, good. All right, remember, we talk a lot about the punitive. I want to talk about some prevention. I believe we have Roger Husbands on the air from Drug Education and Support Services. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning, Corey.
I got your name right?
Drug Education and Counseling
Services. Counseling Services, right? One word wrong, eh? But that's 75%. How you doing, sir?
I am pretty good, sir.
All right, good. I know time back we were talking about where we're heading to, and I think we the bus has pulled up in the station now. So we've gone on from a lot of the gang activity you spoke about some years ago, and we are now at the place where we have a lot of the gang activity, where with the brazen murders, broad daylight, school, malls, crop over, does not matter. And this is where we are. What is your take on what's happening here in Barbados in relation to gun crime? A very small part of what's happening in Barbados for those listening.
Well, honestly, a lot of things that are taking place link itself to the gangs, huh? But a lot of it also is revenge and territorial wars and that we are seeing currently. That's why so much older people are being shot at, because these are persons who were involved in these kind of drug deals and with drug lords. And we do have some massive drug lords, some big drug lords here, actually. I spoke to somebody from another country who said to us that we have some of the largest gang bosses or drug lords here in the Caribbean. And so a lot of these things that are happening in our nation links itself to gangs. And the new gangs that are coming in now are now taking up the ranks, because a lot of these older fellas are moving away or dying or getting shot. And you find a small population of young people trying to get involved in these kind of activities. So as you know, we will have the choppers and the genders, which is my biggest concern right now. My research, I started about research recently, that indicated that these choppers and the genders not only are school related and young people related, but they are the older ones that would have left the schools are now taking up the aspect of robberies and murders and revenge shooting. And I'm very alarmed. As I said before, I honestly do not know why, the young people seeing these older fathers getting shot and murdered, still yet they're getting involved in these things and want to be a part of a group and want to be belonging to something and looking for money and looking for reputation and respect. One youngster said that he joined based upon the fact that he wanted the protection, because everybody came wrong, he would all kind of scenes. And as you see now, we have a song from a Calypsonian that's talked about not taking a body foolishness, you know. And I mean, we I don't know what we're doing in this nation to curb this problem, but we're not helping it when we
go. What do you suggest?
I suggest, and
what we could do.
I made the point that we, the parents, this is, Corey, this is parents. A parenting issue. Mm-hmm. I did the research. I spoke to a number of gangsters. I went to speak to even the older gangsters. And all of them point back to my father didn't hear. My mother do this. You say, come down your house because you got another man in here. They don't like man. And I mean, if you hear the research from these youngsters, from their mouths, it would tend to say that a lot of this stuff they rebelled against, and they went out, and they, and it ain't take too long before the devil find work for idle hands. And if a youngster who's emotionally hurt from something happening at home, or frustrated or angry or want money or not getting the money he wants, and an older gentleman or a younger gentleman will say, introduce him to the gang, obviously he gonna want to go as soon as he get a little couple hundred. Listen, there's a youngster that works for $1,000 a day in a gang just by robbery and selling and all kinds of things. I mean,
and you report these things to the police though?
My listen, a couple of years ago, honestly, for me, I had stopped doing a lot of things because Corey, the information I had, they came and sat with me. The officers came and sat with me. The next day, I heard I'm alarmist. I heard the gang thing in the police station got shut down. I heard the person that was working with me, with the gangs got removed and put someplace else. I mean, I give information, but I guess, again, people call me all kinds of things and all kinds of alarmists. Until now, these situations are taking place. Same things that I spoke about, Corey, are taking place today. And I tell you, Corey, mark my words, it is going to get worse if people do not work together. And that is the truth. I see out there now the plotting. I've done a plot of the different types of gangs in the communities. And I can tell you they're getting bigger because a lot of young persons are leaving school. And you know this, Corey. They're leaving school, can't find a job, and get involved in a number of things. A young man said to me, yeah, sir, please find me a job. If not, I know I'm going to get locked up. I can't take on this. I want a job. You know what I mean? So when they can't find the money and they can't find a job, they're going to get involved in these things. And it's going to get worse. The parents need to get involved, and we need to have parents accountable. You know what I mean? Based upon the research I did, as I said to you, a lot of the youngsters were looking for affection from families, affection from the parents, that this kind of unity, even if there was a separation, that they're still talking to each other. You know what I'm saying? But the parent is the solution for this problem. Listen, police can do what they can. The attorney general can say what they want. You, Corey, can do it. I can do what you want. But at the end of the day, it is up to the parents to spend the quality time with the children, monitor the children. If they find a small little, it might be a little bad word that the child gave or a little talk the child gave to you or a little mannerism start to change. There are facilities and counselors all across this nation that are not heavily supported, but they're still there supporting the community. And parents have the opportunity to go and speak to any counselor, many facilities across the nation that they can get set up. So there's no excuse why we can't solve this problem. This problem can be solved. This problem can be solved if the parents start to play their part. And that is,
I think, then there's a knowledge gap, because I think that everyone in power, every policy maker, everybody should want to see this problem solved. Yet not is not being solved. So that means it must be. That's why I was going to ask you. You started to ask the question, and that is how do we yank parents into the reality? The reality that the children need their emotional support. The reality that there are places to turn to when they're experiencing a lot of problems with the children. And a lot of this starts, as you say, when, you know, parents are not speaking, the father's not there. And we've seen the cycle over and over. How do we yank ourselves out of this vicious cycle?
I think, Corey, for me, and this, and again, I guess for me, my methods would be a little radical. But I think that we've spoken to parents enough. I think we have done as many PTAs. I think we've done as many parity sessions as much as possible. Churches have parents. I get invited. You get invited to all kind of discussions. The parents don't turn up. I think we have to start to put a little more pressure on these parents because the parents, because they're not doing their job is causing it a lot of problems in our nation. And we need
Ulu, we all just started the program this morning talking about pussy footing, right? So what we can do, I want what to do with the parents. Let me get down to brass stats.
Okay, good.
Talk to me.
I think, one, we need to sanction all parents to attend the parents' meeting, or they need to be a part of the school development in sense of, I call you.
They don't come.
But
we can do.
Yeah. even if they don't come because of work, say for instance, don't come for work, well, then come and see me during the week. They got to be a part of the school system. They got to be a part of what's happening with my child. They should be attending.
Right, you summons me to come. I am a parent, and I do not come. What next?
Then I think they need to get a charge, and that's me. I said that.
A lot of these parents are very poor, and they cannot pay any charge. What next?
Well, then they would then get their act together. Because if you ain't gonna pay, you ain't wanna pay, you get your act together.
How?
You gotta attend the meetings, you gotta, if the child is going through some issue, you should be there.
How? How you ain't getting them get the act together? My parent, you summon me, right? My parent, right? My child Dennis giving trouble, but I ain't coming away.
Mm-mm.
Good. So you charge me, I ain't got no money. What you gonna do?
Well, then we'll make sure that you attend the session, whether we go to your workplace, speak to your workplace, speak to something, some situation where you realize that the government and we are serious about this problem. You see, the problem, Corey.
I like that idea, talking to the workplace, because that is a good example of what you spoke about earlier in terms of working together. I could put my name on the block and say, listen, I doubt that many of the people working in these areas trying to get parents have spoken to the workplace to try to get cooperation. Continue.
Yeah, give it some time. The child is playing the fool. And you see, Corey, if we don't put these measures in place, it's going to... Listen, every single time we ignore a child, is another murder coming out. We allow... Listen, and you know the school system, let me show you something. The reason why your parents need to be there, we got young people in school who are now training as murderers and robbers and assassins and gang members, because this is what we do. The birds fell ahead in school, you know what we do? Mother send the child to the hospital, get a little patch, the mother may pay the bill, fine, and the boy go along being a bad boy in school. The boy can mess around here. But we ain't stopping this young man. We ain't finding help for him. We ain't saying, no, it's a mandatory that you attend constantly and you get your help or whatever monitoring systems put in place. When we allow the child to go along like that and we shake hands and move on like that, we allow that child to continue to fight school. There's youngsters that fighting continuously in school and get sent home for 2 weeks, come back, sent home for 2 weeks again, sent, come back, 2 weeks again, sent. And the principals are up to the head, the parents ain't coming to deal with it. And we are creating murderers in our homes. We're creating robberies, people robbing and stealing things. You pay a little fee, the child, nothing happens to the child. We need to let children know their responsibilities attached to things, consequences for when you make bad decisions. Some of them need counseling. Some of them need GIS for a little bit. And GIS also needs restructuring. GIS needs restructuring. Because from GIS, fellas got there and they come back and get worse.
Right. I actually saw some damning statistics, and they never released these to the public. So I got to be out on a limb. Like, if I just spouting from the top of my head, but they showed me a percentage of persons who go to government industrial school and then graduate to Her Majesty's pleasure. And the and today, I'll give the public a break today. I will not even call the statistics. I will not say that it's in the high 80s. I will not even say that today. I will just leave that completely out.
Very sorry, too. And I mean, it's alarming. And we got these kind of things, and yet we still not dealing with them properly. I think we're getting too soft. I think we're allowing things to happen. We're shutting a blind eye to a lot of things. I agree with one of your moderators the other day that allowing youngsters to join these things for them to make money off of drug sales. Let me tell you something, Corey. This thing is very... sometimes I go there and plot ideas, be so vexed. Because, I mean, these things are plain in my eyes. I can see them. And you mean tell me you as politicians and law-abiding... the people out there that don't, you know what I mean, the politicians, the police can't see these things. If I see them, you got to be seeing them too. And it is serious. When you got all across schools, graffiti on all the walls of schools with CCC, Chop City Crew, and you got fellas got in the nearly bathroom, all kind of things written up on the walls, and you still ain't doing that. All you do is repainting, ain't doing that about it. I mean, we got to stop this problem. This thing is getting too worse, and my statistics indicate, and what I based on my research, it is not. It's going to get worse this year than we've ever seen before.
No,
50
no,
something
no.
last year. Mm-hmm. This year going to be worse based upon the fact that now we got a song out there from a Calypsonian that allows children to say, look, when somebody come around, you don't stand for nothing.
I actually had in mind if I should talk about that song today, because it's definitely being talked about in the highways and byways and brass taxes about what's happening out there in society. So anybody want to talk about the Lyric 2020 song, we're calling it out now. We open for discussion here on Down to Brass Tacks. We are hiding today. Today we going down to Brass Tacks. But I rebuke your earlier words about today will be worse. Bite your tongue and go to the corner. It will be a better year 2020.
I pray it will be too. That's mm-hmm. I pray, based upon my research, Corey. That's why I said that. You understand? And maybe come up with these coalitions, come up with these fusions, and fact that being contributed to what we are doing. We are working hard to get the young people to change their minds. You mean, then you can sing a song that motivates the young person to go and make a complaint, go and talk to an adult, go and walk away and breeze your head. You mean, then we can't sing songs like that? We always got to sing songs with some kind of negativity in it. To exert people's anger. When I heard the song, it has tremendous anger in it.
Correct. It goes both ways. Those artists, right, are actually playing to the people. People think that the artists encourage the young people, but the young people actually encourage the artists. They sing that because they know that would be locked up. That was in the society. Because if you sing that and there was no appetite for it, it will go nowhere. But you're really singing because you're in touch with society. Those people are more in touch with our children than our parents are in touch with the children, and they sing to appease their fans. That's what they do. It's sad.
That's sad.
But it's
that's
real.
Sad.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for tapping in. Use the opportunity only basically to keep these topics at the front of the mind of the public and more so the policymakers in this country. So thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, good morning. Let's get through some of these messages. We come back to the line. This one says, the Sir Garfield Sobers International Schools Tournament has been in existence for many years. And I think that's the point that I made, that we can incorporate the heroes. But I'm saying not just at the schools level, at a national level. I'm talking about clubs and communities and the, you know, Boy Scouts, and you have a heroes their badge, and you have one for each hero, and so the girl guide, so that it penetrates the society deeper and wider. That was the point I was making, but I thank the person for that one. This one says, they need to reserve police. I would sign up, and the commissioner needs to come out and fight crime. I think this person is watching Trinidad and Tobago. That guy, Commissioner Gary, oh my goodness, he is up and out front with the crime in Trinidad. This one says, Mr. Lane, Barbados is currently under siege. What are you talking about? What is being done to correct this? This is not a small part. Cancer is a small part of the body too. Hint, hint. So the person is disagreeing, but actually brings a good point. I believe that the shooting is like a cancer. It is a small part of Barbados. When you drive about the highways and byways of Barbados, you look around, you see the birds flying. You see the bees collecting honey. You see people going about their business. You see surfers at the beach, and it looks beautiful. Then we have these isolated incidents every, 6, 5, 7 days. But it is like a cancer, because if that continues, what that can do is it can disrupt business, economic activity, tourism, and then it takes over the organs, and then it can kill the country. But for right now, it is not like we've just crashed and we're in an accident with pure lacerations all over our body. We really definitely have a gun crime cancer in stage one or stage two that can be treated. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Now, I do have quite a mouthful, if you'll allow me. But the last caller...
I would allow you, but it's my producer. My producer is who can stop you. I probably blame on her early, because we ain't stopping long. The line's full and the WhatsApp full.
Beg her for a break from it as well. Not long to
Michelle, please give her a break.
Right. Now, Corey and Michelle, this morning, I just heard a gentleman talk about these children who are used for... who are being groomed. These children are gullible and vulnerable. But what it actually started out as my thought for today is when I heard Mr. Waldron. Mm-hmm. But along the line, he said it was, well, no, let me go with one first. We are making the trees stopping us from seeing the forest. And the trees that we are seeing are the guys who are going out there and picking out people. Now, these guys are not the drug dealers. These guys are not the wholesalers. These guys are the ones who are sent out to bring in some person dead or paralyzed who refused to bring in the money or enough money.
Correct. Most people know that.
Right. It is not a matter of a man being shot outside the school, in a mall, or anywhere for that matter. But the thing about it is, the matter is, these shootings are all related to drugs. So before we can get
not all. That's where he's running into problems. When you use sweeping language. Right, but then even if it's 9 out of 10, even if I agree with you, it's 9 out of 10, it's not all.
Because what I'm trying to tell you, Corey, we are not hearing about the person being shot and robbed of a handbag. We are not hearing about a house being somebody breaking into the house tonight because this house looks like it has everything except the lighting and so the security sign on the door. Are we going in there because this guy got some big cars and everything there? No, these things are not happening. These things are not happening. They're not going into banks and those kind of places. So we haven't gone back to the stage where we had the rare bank or what have you being held up. Now, the next thing I'm telling you about, we have this way of thinking that all of these guns and the drugs are from deprived areas. That is where we are wrong. A lot of these people who are the drug dealers are well known to all and sundry. Now, I remember, now let's say we've got some boys out there, we wouldn't call it a block, sitting around a wheel underneath a tree, playing some cards and so on and so forth. One guy is there who was not supposed to be there that night. The gangster comes out and he's looking for me. I am inside there. But the thing about it is, you know something, Corey? He is spared to take me out before he does the job. And you know what happened? I just go on and I can't aim at him. I take out somebody else. But I have been paid already. You can't say that I stole your money because actually there was a shooting at that particular place.
Now, right, what you're doing, you're putting commentary on what's happening. What we have moved beyond that. We look at how do we deal with the persons that do that, A, how do we deal with the persons that perpetrate these things, one, even if it be the small or the big one, and B, how do we protect it? So we have moved on from the starting line.
We have not moved on, Corey.
My
opinion is that we are not going to move on until we can get to these people who are actually the wholesalers in the drugs and the arms.
Correct. That's part of prevention. It's part of prevention.
The thing is, let's say, Corey, you have, you know so many gangs outside, gang spots out there. You mean nobody can't infiltrate any? How come they can't infiltrate any? Now, we know this one night, a man came out of the Lucky Horseshoe. This was in the paper, so you can repeat me. And as soon as he came out, he got gunned down. And by the midnight for the next day's paper, front page, well-known drug dealer. How come that we only knew he was a well-known drug dealer as he got shot? And what I
But we know, but you just can't because you know somebody, you are suspect somebody, you can't just go on.
You understand where I'm coming from, Corey?
No.
But what I think that we need to do, as they did in England, take some of these policemen, most of them out of sitting in the station, and waiting to get a call and put them outside on the street. They all have communication systems.
They do.
And when you get a message, you ain't got to wait for a van to carry you anywhere. You are outside there among the people. You get where I'm coming from, Corey?
Yes, please.
But until we can get hold or get rid or get our hand on top of the drugs, the drug dealers, the wholesalers, and the ammunition, this time, as you guys said, this time next year or this year, it's going to be even worse.
I thank you for that because...
One thing, Corey, listen, one thing else. When we think about armed and stopping and searching, you think the police would stop a big drive, a Daimler, or one of them German-made cars? He might find some drugs in there, but he dare not stop one in there.
Like we said all of that today, and we were saying that when we're calling for it, that we would actually have it in a position where it should be random, truly random, or not is going to create problems in the society. But thank you anyhow. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, you are on to Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I felt your spirit before you said good morning, sir.
Really?
Yeah, I felt you coming.
Because you're Orvin Gambit, but you touched on buttons. I was forced to respond.
Go ahead. Hello, though.
You touched on the topic that I had been talking about off and on for the last several months.
Good. Come on in. Take off your shoes and come in.
So let me do, first of all, let me apologize to persons whom I might have unwittingly misled a few, some last time, a couple of times ago when they spoke, when they was talking about the same society, the mainstream society, and what is happening now, a threatening mainstream society. And I use the term as apathy. I thought, but I meant anomie.
Mm.
Anomie is a state of A-N-O-M-I-E, for those who want to Google it. It's a sociological term that means a normlessness, where the standards and norms and behavior, your values don't apply to this group. They're totally rejected, and they have their own code of conduct,
mm-hmm.
their own yeah. rules, their own regulation, their own discipline, and the discipline is usually meted out with force. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when you appeal, when the church, or you talk about go to church, all that has been rejected. Barbados is now a lot more secular than it used to be. In other words, religion does not play as much a role, a strong role in Barbados as it used to. And this is a function of development, where people become more educated, and a lot of the myths and superstitions and things that they accepted in the past, they now question because of their broader access to broader information, and they're not therefore as utterly convinced about these things as they used to be. So therefore, the restraints that used to be very effective in society no longer apply.
And the funny thing about it, a lot of the people in the religious institutions are even afraid to mention it, you know, because the scorn has heaped on them. They're like, I used to talk about going out of church, but and what they do know, they just don't even mention it. Some of them feel shamed, embarrassed, scoffed at. So they don't even, the calls have been lowered and lowered and lowered to their whispers now.
I mean, church has its role, but you can't impose church on people, mm-hmm. especially adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right? I mean. But societies, to me, life and society operate on two basic principles: stimulus and response, and reward and punishment. And if it is just like any other organism, a society, you know, the most basic impulse in an organism is self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
If you corner a lizard and the lizard feel you're going to attack it, it would jump at you. It normally would run from you. Once it feels threatened, instinctively it seeks to survive. And that's what societies have to do. And I begin to believe that, based on what is being discussed these days, that we are beginning to see that we have to fight back. I got to jump in here.
Tell you what.
Sure.
Only 2 days ago, I was telling someone that if you look at the culture of some of these gunslingers, right? They're very scary, and I'll tell you why. If you look at terrorists usually, carry out their terror based on a philosophy, right?
Yeah.
And you know, even whether it is the 77 versions or whatever in the afterlife, whatever, they have their own. They do something for a reason. Some of these people, that there are at least two persons that I heard in a video talking, and they were like, you know what, I know you can die, but I ain't tackle as many people as possible. And I felt what they were saying was so serious. And to me, that person is more dangerous than a terrorist, because they will kill for nothing, whereas the terrorist is killing for a philosophy and a philosophical underpinning, if you may, right? Now, one of the other things is that, as I say, what makes it even more dangerous, whether hanging or, you know, 10 life in prison, it doesn't matter if the person doesn't care about life, because self-preservation is what would have caused us to do a lot of things. Now, when you take that away, you have the most dangerous person on earth, in my opinion.
But when in the 60s, 70s, I think particularly the 60s, long before you were thought of, Corey.
Yeah, long.
There used to be a saying, live fast, die young. And make a pretty corpse. You ever heard that saying?
No.
Live fast, die young, and make a pretty corpse.
Wow.
So this is what you and D. David, that normalists is there. Their reputation on the street,
that's crazy,
either during their lifetime or after, is more important than living long. Mm. They have a name to make.
And that's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Very dangerous.
They, you know, there used to be a saying in Barbie, you may have no respect for God, man, or your devil.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Mm-hmm. That is that way. So a lot of the appeals that are made to these people using the language and the philosophy and the approach and the logic that would apply to mainstream society would not have any impact on them, because their interests and ours are different. Their interest is making money by the means that they deem necessary, living the good life, enjoying the luxury while it lasts, and imposing discipline and gaining respect. And not being dissed. You know, one of the most dangerous things that I saw creep into the Barbadian lexicon, particularly young people, and straight out of North America, and the North American ghetto, and the North American crime is diss. You diss me. Everything is disrespect. You touch a man for your finger. Man, you diss me. You want to fight and kill. I grew up where you interact with people, and that was alien to our thinking. You only fought if something extreme or near extreme happened to you, but not you touch a man, you step on a man's toes, you look at his girlfriend too hard or something. So I think that mentality, you see the socialization of the persons in this different social outlet is different from ours. And man, she said, they socialize that the rules of behavior are different. The expectations are different. The rewards are different. And we have to see that what they respect most, you have to treat them with. That is why I back the full force behind the police and what full force behind them. The other thing is that part of the problem with the police, I think, and there was a story in the last week's paper, you might have missed it, where there were some policemen are calling for the ability to wear balaclavas, masks on their face when they go on certain operations. Mm-hmm. And I think that is vital. Or if it's a small society, something you only know, you're going to have to see how a man walk, you know he's a policeman, right? Mm-hmm. And when people go in public and exposed to these persons who are trying to apprehend or whatever, and they get their faces, they have cell phones to record their faces, and they have friends and families to protect. And therefore, they're likely to be inhibited by knowing that their faces have been exposed and known among the underworld. Because we have a strong underworld in Barbados. Mm-hmm. I think the underworld and organized crime are probably the most effective, efficient sector in any society. Mm. And Barbados among them. But the thing about it is that there used to be a time when I was in journalism, we would avoid photographing policemen, especially plainclothes policemen, and naming them, especially if they're in special branch. So you try to keep that make them as hard to identify and associate with police activity as possible. But now, with cell phones and everybody wants to do a video, that no longer applies. And I think that serious considerations we give that there's certain people who are in certain tasks and under certain obligations should have the benefit of wearing, have their face mask for their own protection, and it would give them a greater sense of empowerment, and that they can feel more free to execute their duties fearlessly.
I want to add in the unmarked vehicles in there too. They got some of them, some of these guys that were into crime, and you hope they're not into it anymore, and these vehicles pass. Look, T11216, you know what I mean? They know the numbers by heart. They know them by the color, the shade, the sound of the engine, man. Yeah, and that's when you know the guy into the craft, man.
I know that the police often change those numbers and vehicles. But obviously too small.
Correct.
And if they go to certain areas that you said they get to recognize them or whatnot. So therefore,
and P made a good point years ago. He said, you know, when the ZRs did things, you would see them in the paper and they would put something over the license plate. But right. When they had crime and you had the Vitaras at the scene, they used to have the numbers there in the paper. He couldn't understand, and rightfully so, why they were not, you know, keep it how it's supposed to be. Anyhow.
But we have a fight on our hands. Once the society recognizes it, and I'll be prepared to make the police force and the judicial system fully resourced and be prepared to do the job in the way they have been trained to and expected. I think it will not happen overnight. And we have to go back again to what was said earlier. It starts in the home.
In the home.
The first unit of socialization is the family. It has to be reinforced in the schools and the neighborhoods and whatever. All the society has been working in sync going towards a particular goal. But unfortunately, we don't have one monolithic block called society. It has various parts and subparts and sections, some of which don't always fall into mainstream. But if the mainstream falls, the whole society crumbles. And I think we have to do our best to protect that as much as possible. I want to talk about the I don't know how much time you have, but I want to make a quick mention about yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you about the whole question of the national heroes. Do you know that there's a song made for every national hero? You know, it's a song made. It issued in 1998 on a CD. and that nobody seems to remember. I've been talking about it the last 2 years.
Are you sure? Michelle shaking her head saying yes, but I shame because I didn't know that. I never even said a year. I felt even worse. Because I thought it probably came out last year and I didn't catch up with it yet.
Would you be?
Well, I see these garbage scratch up right now.
I heard almost all the concert from St. Lucie in honor of Mr. Barrow. Unless I missed it during the commercial breaks or whatever, nobody sang the song, the National Hero song about the National Hero. You don't hear the songs of the National Heroes leading up to National Hero. There are 10 songs with 10 National Heroes, and we need to make them part of the everyday experience of the children. I agree again, Leroy McLean said day before, I think it was, yesterday, it seems so long ago. We have to teach civic again. When I was going to school, I knew every member of the House Assembly.
I agree with that.
You have to take, you have to give those that information that people could build on, because you don't set your look for it. You have to build on in a cumulative process before we go on. Last of all, I think there's also a book called For Love of Country, which has excellent biographies on each national hero. There's that material there. People need to take them and do a comic strip, the videos. There's so much material now that if what the technology of today is applied to it, they can reach people in a way that they're comfortable with, that they seek to get the information from. So there's no excuse why a proper program of information cannot over the years be built out over each national hero, so that it's not just a last minute trying to get a thing. Like, I heard people imitating Mr. Barrow's voice yesterday, but I thought there would have been so many recordings of Mr. Barrow that a lot of things I know he said, I knew there were recordings before. And I hope that people have not thrown away those recordings, dumped them with the, because people dumped a lot of LPs and reel-to-reel tapes because of the new technology with CDs and whatnot. And we'd also a valuable amount of Barbadiana by that Philistine action. But I will talk more about it when I have more time on another case. But the material is there.
All right, thank you. And I want to use your call really to call out the station authorities, the program managers, etc., to try to get your hands on these songs and make them part of the playlist of the stations. Because I didn't know that, and it's good when people like you, Glenn, could call on the air and probably spend some time off air to call in some of the program managers to have these things done. So I want to thank you very much for that.